Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, each year, the last Sunday after the Epiphany, we hear the story of the Transfiguration. The scriptures speak about the transfigured nature of our Lord. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Don't you wish that your life too would shine? That you would reflect the image of Jesus? In 1977, NASA launched Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. They were to explore the galaxy. A recording called The Sounds of Earth was attached to each of these twin spacecrafts. It was a message from Earth to anyone out there in the universe who might be listening. It contained music, and it even had the sound of a human heartbeat. Over 30 years later, the person who served as the creative director of this project reflected on what she chose and why she chose to include the sounds of Earth. She said, "The first thing I found myself thinking of was a piece by Beethoven, something called the Cavatina Movement. When I first heard the piece of music, I thought, this was great, it was beautiful, yet sad in terms of a piece of music on which Beethoven had written in the margin in German a word that meant longing. Part of what he wanted to capture in the Voyager message, or well, he didn't, but what they wanted to grasp was that there's a great longing that we feel as people. In the end, NASA chose this great song of human longing and launched it out into outer space. It's as if the NASA scientists were saying to the rest of the universe, this is who and what we are as human beings. Creatures of longing. Hidden in that basic introduction of who we are, maybe a question that's being asked, do you feel this longing too? Or are we the only ones? I don't think they got a message back. Now, if we're honest, there are times in our lives when we look around and we wonder, is this all there is? Sometimes it can just be a passing question. Other times it can last for a time. We look at our life, our circumstances, and there are times in which we want more, where there's a restlessness, a searching, a longing for something else, something more. Some have called it midlife crisis. May or may not be that. Now this searching, this seeking has caused some to make some unwise decisions. Some decide to get a new job. Or they get a new car. Or a new relationship. Or they take up a new hobby. Or they go on a trip. Or they work even longer hours. But in the end, well, not much that's eternally significant changes. Why? Because this yearning, this longing, is not really about the circumstances of our life, of what happens in life. It's about us. This restlessness, this desire for something more, generally means that we may have been living life at the shallow end of the pool, which is where I usually stay when in the pool, you know. It means that life and relationships can become superficial. We're skimming across the surface. We've not gone too deep. Well, life at the surface is easier. And that's what's encouraged and rewarded in much of the world today. It fails, however, to fully understand what God has done. That God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has transfigured the world. And creation itself is filled with divine light. You know, life on the surface keeps us judging the circumstances of life. Those things that happen to us. And we look at these circumstances as a picture. If the picture is pretty, if it's pleasing, and it shows us what we want to see, well, then we believe, well, God is good. And life is as it should be. But when we do not see what we want, then often we want a new picture, a change. I would be happy if this would happen. Well, I would be happy if others did that. But that kind of attitude is living at the shallow end of the pool, only skimming the surface of life. This restless searching, this longing for more, this desire for meaning is not, however, usually answered by changing our circumstances. You know where it's found? It's found in our hearts. It's an interior journey. Do we have a heart that seeks to know God's will? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to mold us, to conform us, to transform us into the image of Jesus? You know, we don't need to see new pictures. We don't need to see new things. What we need to see is the world with new eyes. We don't need to hear a different voice. We need to hear the unchanging voice of God with different ears. We don't need to escape the circumstances of our life. We need to be more fully present in these circumstances. And when we allow this to happen, life is no longer just living at the surface. We no longer are swimming at the shallow end. No, if we yield to each of these life encounters through new eyes, through new ears, then we become transfigured moments. These become transfigured moments. Moments when the picture of our life becomes a window. A window into a new world. A window into the spiritual realm. Where we come face to face with the transforming glory of God. Most of us, I hope, seek God in the circumstances of our lives. We want God to show up. We want God to be present, to act, to do something. You know, we serve a God of action, a God who does, a God who yearns to interact with His people. That's our God. God wants us to look and to seek where God is in our circumstances of life. That is exactly what the disciples have been doing up to this point. You know, they saw Jesus cast out demons. They saw Him cure the sick. They saw paralytics walk. They saw the blind see. They saw thousands who were fed. But in order to mature, to go further in the faith, we need to discover God who is beyond just the immediate circumstances, the God who is. He wants to move us from milk to meat in our Christian life. You know, when Jesus was leading Peter, James, and John up that mountain, He was doing so for they to discover the God who is beyond the immediate circumstances. In this place, their picture becomes a window. A window by which they move into the depths of God's life, God's light, God's love. You know, the Scripture says that when they were up on the mountain, they saw Jesus what? You know, transfigured before them. His face shone as the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. And then the cloud overshadowed them, and the voice of the Father spoke of the beloved Son. And we heard, you know, Peter wanted to build dwelling places. He wanted to put them in a frame, Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. It's good for us to be here. He wanted to preserve it. He wanted to take a picture. But pictures are static. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the pictures of life's circumstances become more than a picture of an event. They become a window. A window through which we step into a new world. A new way of seeing. A new way of hearing. A new way of being. You know, on that mountain, you know, think about it. Jesus didn't just suddenly light up and become something that he was not. The disciples' eyes were opened so they could see Jesus as he always was, always had been. The voice in the cloud was not new. Their ears were open to be able to hear the voice. The voice that has not ceased speaking from the beginning of time. You know, I'm aware that I'm beginning to lose some of my hearing. A few years ago, I went to Sam's, to the hearing place. It was free. And I had them test my hearing. I had the guy test it. And I had never done it before. And you know, I had the different tones and so forth. And next thing, he's sticking something in my ears. And he's saying, well, how's that sound? What do you think? And I said, well, am I supposed to be hearing this? Beep, 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 beep. He said, that's a sound that's in the building. Well, I thought it was in the hearing aid. No, I didn't want to hear that. But it was always there. I didn't know it. But it changed my hearing, how I heard things. You know, the transfiguration is as much about them as it is Jesus. Whenever the picture of life circumstances become a window, we stand in a transfigured moment. You know, the circumstances have not changed. The event has not changed. We have changed. And that changes everything. There are those transfigured moments that are all around us. Because in every event, every encounter, every picture, every circumstance can become a transfigured moment. I believe every one of you here, every one of us could tell a story about stepping back from the picture of life, of seeing something with new eyes you hadn't seen before, listening of things you had not heard before, discovering the window that opened up, opening up into a different world, a different way of being. There was the movie Hook a number of years ago. And in the movie, Robin Williams plays Peter Pan. I forget what name he had in life, but Panning, I think it was. And he is back in the land of the lost children, the deserted children. Well, he has forgot that he had been Peter Pan. And there comes a moment that the boys on the island are being asked to help Peter to remember that he was Peter. And there finally comes that moment, a little boy comes up to him and he's pushing on his face. And I just took the microphone off. I never get excited. And the little boy looked directly into Peter's eyes. And all of a sudden, "There you are, Peter." His view had changed. That's what God does to us. He allows us to see things His way. You know, maybe there was the day in which you revealed to another person a secret that you had carried for years. And in telling the picture as one of guilt and shame, it becomes an open window through which one is able to step. The darkness is exposed by the light. And the chains fall off. And forgiveness comes over sin. And the glory fills the soul. There's the bridge of the amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has rescued me. Do you remember the moment of holding a newborn baby? What a vivid picture that allows us to look through a window that opens up when God allows being able to see the mystery of a new creation, a window of opening, of allowing, seeing God's love and His presence in a new and glorious way. It kind of took me back to the day that we brought Jana home and holding her, and we really have a baby. We've got this baby, and it changed our lives as changes everyone's life in their own way. And laying her down into the crib, and as she's sleeping, wondering, is she breathing? But what a bundle to love. And then realizing how much more love God has for us as His children. The Lord's glory that's shown on the Mount of Transfiguration is not like that glory that glows through a newborn baby that God has given of life. You know, the spiritual realm surrounds us. It's everywhere. It encompasses everything. The windows of heaven are everywhere if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Peter, James, and John, Jesus had taken them to the mountain. And then afterwards they came down the mountain. They couldn't stay there. But the thing is, they didn't totally leave the mountain either, because what they saw, what they heard, they took with them. Transfigured moments change us, and they sustain us, and they prepare us, and they encourage us from the inside out. The transfiguration of they seeing and hearing was what they were able to see from the inside of Jesus out. And it's His desire that as we direct our focus upon Him, He wants to guide us into the future, regardless of what circumstances we face. He doesn't want us to be living in the shallow end of the pool. He wants us to experience Him with deeper senses of who He is. Every circumstance of life, every picture of life, every event in life can become an open window. You and I being a transfigured people, opening our eyes to see God, opening our ears to hear God as He wants to mature us in our faith. This mountaintop experience, as it closes out the Epiphany season, is an invitation for us to open our hearts and our lives to God's grace to fill us and transfigure us as we move through the Lenten season and to where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's desire and the Lord's promise is to take each of us from glory to glory, to see and to hear the divine. The world's trying to rob that of us, but God wants us to experience it. May we allow God to open our eyes to the window of His presence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that as You allowed Peter, James, and John to experience that transfiguration, it wasn't that our Lord Jesus changed into something else, but it was rather allowing them to see Jesus for who He really was and is. May our eyes be opened so that we can see the glory and the divine as we walk day by day in relationship with You. May we hear You through Your Word, that You give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we see You through and in the midst of life, the circumstances of life. You want us to experience more of You, to know You more deeply and intimately. May we experience that transfiguration through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.